Amen. I definitely can say it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, can't you? Amen. No place I'd rather be, this side of eternity anyway. I've got a place to be when the Lord calls me, but I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm glad to see each of you here this morning. I know it's a little cold and rainy or what have you, but it's good to have it's a blessing to have a nice warm place to come and to attend. So if you will, let's be turning to Leviticus chapter number 10. Leviticus chapter number 10. You pray this morning. I've been in prayer this morning, and I was thinking as we were listening to the songs and getting our hearts prepared, you know, preparation for Wednesday night should have already started. Preparation for next Sunday should have already started, talking about the service. It's not something that you do on a whim. I think you'll see during this message today, there's a preparation that happens a long time before you get here. If we're going to do it the Lord's way and see things His way, and going through and listening to and going back and reading through the Bible again this year, the Lord's showing some things and some things are jumping out at me, and I appreciate Him doing that. This might be some familiar scripture to you. You think about the book of Leviticus and how with the Levites and how the priests were supposed to conduct themselves, and this is Aaron's sons, how they're supposed to dress and how they're supposed to conduct themselves. And you know, the Lord really, He shows us here, it's very serious business when you're really talking about how to worship God. It's not something that you kind of, again, do on a whim or you make up yourself. See, the Bible's really interesting in how it describes or prescribes how we're supposed to act and our conduct toward Him. A lot of things that we see today that are is classified as worship is not worship at all in God's eyes. Not at all. You know, we can come in and you can put a shirt and a tie on. You can put a nice dress on. And you know, the thing about all that is God looks straight through that and He's looking at your heart this morning. Amen. I mean, you can all be dolled up and handsomed up and all that kind of good stuff, but that doesn't impress the Lord. He wants to see the condition of our heart. You'll see that this morning. And you know, when you look back at the Old Testament and you look back at the law, it seems very cold. Seems very harsh. I would not have wanted to live back in the time of the law, because I was studying and I was thinking, man, I'd probably be one of the examples that are given here, one of the bad examples. Messing up, and you know, the Lord, it seems like maybe was pretty harsh, but when you're talking about establishing how we are supposed to address God, how we are supposed to come before His presence, He had to make that known right out the gate, right out of the start. Right from the very start. And that's what you're going to see here this morning. Again, Leviticus chapter number 10, verses 1 through 3. And I'll be going through a few different places here this morning. But we'll read these three verses and we'll get started. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Father, I thank You for this day that You've given to us, Lord, the ability to be here today, the weather not hindering. Lord, it's so good to see this number. I know a lot of sickness is going on and a lot of other things are going on that people are facing, God, but we're so thankful that You have allowed each one to be here today that could be here. God, we're thankful for those that are listening online. God, I pray wherever people be today that listen or when they hear this, God, that You touch their heart, You prick their heart, God, with Your word. Lord, I know it's nothing in me. You and I both know I'm not worthy to stand here, God. Lord, I just want to serve You in any way that I can, Lord. It's all about You and it's all for You, God. And I just pray that Your people be helped here this morning. God, I pray for soft hearts. God, I pray for open hearts. God, I pray for open minds to listen and take in Your word, God, that they could be helped, that I could be helped. God, we need it. We need more of You every day as we see the day approaching, as we see this winding down. God, we need more and more of You. We need more help. We need to put more trust and more faith in You. God, I thank you for all the many wonderful blessings and all the answered prayers this week. It's so good to hear those praise reports from Wednesday even on through today, God. We thank you for that. God, go with us. Keep our heads around us. Those that are lost here, those that are lost listening, God, I pray that you touch their heart. Help them see their need of salvation. Help us here today, God. It's all for you. And ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see here again in verse number 1, it's kind of an interesting start. If you've read through the Bible, if you do that, I challenge you to do that. It will help you. It'll give you a yearly presence of what God is trying to explain to us. If you do it kind of systematically that way, you'll see kind of how things unfold and where we're headed to. Again, this is where I get my news from. This is where I get my trusted source from. So that's what I'm trusting in this morning. But I pray that we'll see what's going on here with Moses' son. So this is the beginning of the priesthood. If you're reading back before that, if you've read before, it talks about the inauguration of the priestly service. It talks about how everything's supposed to be set up, their consecration, how they're supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And the Lord goes all the way so far as to explain to them how these sacrifices were supposed to be made. It was laid out. It wasn't up to man to try to figure it out. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible and the Old Testament. New Testament alike, the Lord doesn't leave it just up for us to try to figure out. He's got it outlined for us if we'll slow down and listen to Him. And I assure you that His way will supersede our way every single time. The Lord has never disappointed me. I'll go ahead and say that. He's never disappointed me. He's always taken care of me. He's always shown me a better way. When I thought I wanted a certain thing, He showed me a better way. And what we're seeing here is a mishap very early on in the tabernacle and how worship was supposed to take place. So Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and fire therein, and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had commanded them not. Now that's a problem. The Lord had prescribed them to do a certain thing, but if you were to have seen them, you probably wouldn't notice anything was going on. They had their censer. That's what was to hold the fire and the incense. That's what they were supposed to hold as they went through, and that incense fill up the tabernacle and fill up the place. That was what you would have seen of them would look right. Like this morning, you look right to me. You look good. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not trying to puff you up too much. But you look good to me this morning. You look like you wanted to be here. You come here and excited to be here, got ready, and you came here. See, a lot of times we come to church and we absolutely look the part. I believe that Abihu and Nadab looked the part when they went to the tabernacle. They had a censer. They were supposed to have that. They were supposed to have incense. They were supposed to have that. They were supposed to have fire. They were supposed to have that. So they're walking through and everything looked all right. But something was afoot. Everything wasn't all right. The people wouldn't recognize it and see it, but God did. He knew. He knows. If something's not right in your heart this morning, He knows. I may not know. The person sitting next to you may not know, but He knows. He knows what's going on. He knows about this. He knows what's bothering you and maybe hindering you or maybe keeping you from being where you want to be this morning with the Lord. He knows that. See, the man looks at the container. The Lord looks at the contents. He looks at what's on the inside. And that's what we're seeing here. And I see that they brought this strange fire from before the Lord. They brought something. They brought a strange worship before the Lord. They brought a fire in that wasn't supposed to be there. I think it's a fire that they probably started themselves. You ever try to do that? Ever wake up on a Sunday morning and maybe you've had a non-prepared week, maybe not a good week, but you maybe wake up rested or feel good on a Sunday morning and say, I'm going to worship today, and try to come in and start your own fire? Have you ever seen that? Come on now, have you ever seen that? Have you ever been in a service where you felt somebody's trying to start their own fire? Let's be honest. I've seen it, Brother Terry. I've been around, and I might be kind of wore down and beat down a little bit and see somebody excited and carrying on a little bit. And I'm like, why is he so excited? What's up with him? What's up with her? I'm not saying that's always the case, but you know, if we're not careful, we could be overzealous in our own self and try to do something in the flesh. I've seen it happen. You know what the Lord calls that? He calls that strange fire. You see, the fire comes from the Lord. The help comes from the Lord. He requires us to use His fire. Did you know that? If you look back, flip back one more page there. Look back to Leviticus 9, 23 and 24. You see, He prescribed to the Levites how they were supposed to start this. How they were supposed to do a sacrifice. It goes through and explains the sacrifices. We're up to the burnt offerings. And it says here in verse number 23, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. They had set things up the way that it was supposed to be set up. See, when you think about coming to church, it's before we get here. Things need to be set up. Things were set up on the outside. Things were set up on the way there. And there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which all the people saw, and they shouted and they fell on their faces. Where did the fire come from? Where did the fire come from? Amen. Say, the fire comes from the Lord. Say it. Amen. The fire comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from you and me. The fire comes from the Lord. Now when you look back, let's go back to Leviticus chapter number 6. I want us to see this here also. After everything was lined out like it was supposed to be, Leviticus chapter number 6 verses 8 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. This is how the burnt offering is supposed to be taken out or played out. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed in the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on the other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn therein the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Say, I supply the wood. I supply the wood. God supplies the fire. I supply the wood. You see the picture that's given here? You say, preacher, it ain't supposed to be about works, but follow me. How many of you have heat at your house? It's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. How many of you heat with propane? There's a few. How many of you heat with wood? Seen a lot more. All right. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. How many of you know how much propane's in the tank out back? Anybody? I know there's a couple that know. I was ready for that. There's a couple that know. But a lot of people here don't, right? If you are relying on the heat to be here when you got here, you're hoping it's here, right? But you're not sure if it's here or not, right? You trust the people who make sure it's here, but do you know? See, we're talking about priests that offered strange fire. The people trusted them. You know, propane's a really interesting thing. I used to burn wood, and I remember a time in doing that, and then I went to propane, and praise the Lord for it. I like that. Until that little slip of paper's in the door when I get home, that means somebody's been there. But it's an amazing thing, and if we're not careful, this is how we're going to have church. We will trust that Everything's in place the way it's supposed to be. The deliveries have been made, and we're going to rely on somebody else, and it's going to be there when we get there. And like I said before, you get excited and you come in, you're like, you know, I want to worship today. And you come over to the thermostat and you're just like, I just want to turn this thing up a little bit today because I feel good. And you turn that thermostat up, hoping that it's going to be in there, right? Because you feel good this morning. It's a hope. It's a trust system. Now, there's something different about how the priests were supposed to carry out their order. See, they were old-timey. They were old-fashioned. They had to burn firewood. My experience with propane and firewood is two completely separate different things. I see the man come, and I look out, and I'm like, thank the Lord he's here. And I see the hose go out, and then I see the slip comes in, and I just turn the knob and hope that the heat's going to come on. And everything's fine until cold air starts blowing out. I thought it was there. Miss Jan, I saw him do his part. Why is the heat not coming on? You got to call people and have people come out. It's different when you're talking about how the Lord wants things to be done. You hope the propane's there. There's a few people that know how much is in there, but the majority of you don't. Now, those that burn wood, did you burn any wood this morning? Any idea how much wood you put in there this morning? Four sticks. Filled it up. You're not guessing how much is in there, are you? You know how much is in there, don't you? He didn't rely on somebody else to put it in there. He knows how much is in there. God supplies the fire. I supply the wood. It's so different. I don't supply my own propane. I don't go there and do that. But when I went to, when I used to have a fire stove, when I had that, when I know mom and dad, they still do, I remember how that process was carried out. The fire was started. You see, God supplied the fire. The priest was supposed to go in and supply the wood. Now, how did that work? This is what I envision. When I see how this works out, I remember dad would come down, and I remember what I would do is I would get down right about like this, and I would look in there and I would see how many ashes were in there. Because if you have too many ashes, it's going to stifle it out. It's going to choke out the fire. You see, the priests, what they were supposed to do to see how many ashes is in there, how much waste is in there, they're supposed to scoop that out and take it out and set it aside, and then take it outside the camp and get rid of it. Then you had to put that firewood in. You know, there's a lot of work when it comes to firewood. The tree don't fall and don't fall into pieces, and it doesn't come to your driveway, does it? Propane's a lot simpler, isn't it, Brother Allen? Firewood's a lot more personal. Because what you have with firewood, you have to cut the tree down. You have to cut it up in the appropriate spots. You have to split it up so it's going to fit in your stove. It's a lot more intimate. There's more time in it. You know what you've got in that. When you talk about a service and preparation, there's more to it than going and turning up a thermostat. There's preparation throughout the week. And you take that and you go in and you remember the times when it was back in fall, when it was cold, when the Lord was showing you something in a different time of your life and you were cutting these things up and you're setting it down in that fire. Funny thing about a thermostat is a lot of times you can control it. Now, if you keep throwing that firewood in the stove, what happens? Doesn't it get hotter? And hotter. Can you really control how hot a fire gets? Not too much. You can kind of stifle it down a little bit. But I want you to see and understand what happened with these priests, what they were supposed to do. God supplied the fire. They were supposed to keep this fire burning. That required them physically to go to the place and get down in the presence. You know what fire is? Fire is a type of the presence of God. They had to get down in the close with God, close enough that they're putting the firewood in the stove to create that heat. You ever put wood in the fire stove? Is it cold or is it hot? It's pretty toasty, doesn't it? Feels pretty good. They had to be down in the presence of God. You see, there's a lot of symbolism in that this morning. They had to be down there and close with God. There's no turning a thermostat. They had to be down in his presence. Their goal, their function, was to keep the fire going. That required them to be in the presence of God. You think about wanting things to be a certain way or having services. You want to be close to the Lord. I tell you, it's not just on Sunday mornings. Now, these people were sadly mistaken just to be relying on the priest, were they not? You see, the priest, they went the wrong way about this. They were kind of haphazard. I think they started out right, but they went wrong. Nadab, that means free and voluntary gift. If you go back and you study how these gifts were supposed to be given out, it was free and voluntary. Free of the person's own will. They're supposed to give it out. Abihu, his name means father. He is my father. You know, they started out right, but they went wrong somehow. Well, that's sad, isn't it? We're talking about the priest. We're not just talking about members of the church or whatever. We're talking about the leadership in the church. They lost interest somewhere along the way. Something happened. Something went very badly wrong. They came in not focused. Now, I'll tell you this morning, they came in, just to be honest with you, from what I understand, half lit. If you look at Leviticus chapter number 10, verses 8 through 10, I think we'll see what their problem was. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor their sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. You see, they went into the presence of God intoxicated. Now, who would do that? Who would do that? How would a priest do that? We see this physically this morning, and I believe people physically do it all the time now, but let's look at it spiritually. Sober-minded. How serious this is. How we conduct ourselves through the week. How we try to do things or portray ourselves versus how we really are. You know, again, the Lord knows exactly what's in our heart. If there's been a time, and this ain't even the main scope of the message this morning, but if I've ever seen a time of trying to pass right or wrong off and trying to make it right, it's with alcohol. It's wrong. It's wrong. Lord intends for us to be sober. If you see it right here in black and white, you see, I just want to say this. I have never seen the Bible portray alcoholic beverages in a positive light. Never. Never. But what takes place here? How does a person get to this point that they're like, we've got to do this? It's Sunday morning. We've got to be there. We got to look the part. We'll look the part. We'll play the part. But look what happened with them. There's a very bad thing that took place here. Do you see here in verse number 2? And it says, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You see, the Lord sent his fire. Let's look in Hebrews chapter number 12 for just a second. Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 25 through 29. The duty of life. Verse 25, it says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of the things that are shaken, as the things that are made, those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Look at these last two verses. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Think about the fire that God is, what that represents, the presence of God, the presence that we have with Him, or what His presence is like. These two priests, they went before the Lord intoxicated. They were trying to hold out the office not soberly, and they were judged for it. They were killed for it. Verse number 3, it says, Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. See, the Lord said, I will be sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart. We have to hold the Lord higher than anybody or anything, or we're not doing it right. He has to be put up here. It's not about trying to impress your neighbor. It's not trying to impress anybody else or trying to satisfy anybody else. It's all about God and doing it for Him and doing it His way. If we're relying on anything else, it's not going to work. It'll all be just kind of mundane. It'll all just kind of be so-so. But if you really want to call on the power of God, you have to do it His way. He said, I will be sanctified. He is explaining to Moses here the seriousness of it. I will be sanctified unto them that come nigh me. I will be separated unto them that come nigh me. Like I was saying at the beginning, when you think about coming to church or having a service, or, you know, I think sometimes people have it in their minds, when we're with this group of people, we get to act this way. And if we're with this group of people, we have to act this way. It's kind of like being a chameleon. You just kind of fit in where you're at. See, God doesn't honor that. God says this is the way you're supposed to be all the time. This might sound a little repetitious, but I want to ask you, and I want you to think about this. How often do you think about God and the seriousness of God throughout the week? Or is that kind of in the rearview mirror? Is that something that's kind of off to the side a little bit through the middle of the week, through the time of the week? Or is He just as real to you during the middle of the week as He is on Sunday morning? See, that's where true Christianity comes from. We see this is a place of worship. This is a place to gather and to worship and honor God. But that should not stop when you go outside those doors. Our relationship with Him should be just as sweet and serious as any other time during the week. First thing in the morning, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the afternoon. It's not something that we turn on and we turn off. Preparation for the next service has already begun. He said to be sanctified. I'll be sanctified in that come nigh me. The ones that are coming near me, I will be sanctified in them. I will be set apart in them. For those who want to be close to me. And for all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Glorified, that means to be honored. You know how hard that would have been for Aaron? This is the father of those two men that were killed that God took. He held his peace. See, one thing that Aaron understood is how serious God was. How serious God is. When God says it's going to be a certain way, Aaron knew that that meant a certain way for everybody, even his own sons, his own family. We don't make changes. God doesn't honor, is no respect of persons. He looks at us the same. He expects the same out of all of us. How much do we want to serve the Lord this morning? How serious are we taking Him? So that's a very serious thing that took place here. They thought they could go through the motions, and that didn't work. Brother Tim mentioned it in Sunday school. He was talking about today. You can't look at tomorrow. You got to be focused on today. And I want to close with this idea on our hearts, or this thought on our hearts this morning, if you will. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. How many of you really want to serve the Lord this morning? Be honest. How many? You really want to serve the Lord? You want to be on fire for God? That's the title this morning, being on fire for God. The Lord gives us an opportunity to have rewards for Him. But you think about how those rewards are going to be weighed out, or how they're going to be handed out, or how they're going to be judged. It's by fire. Ever watch how fire works? You just see how it consumes everything in its path, burns everything up. But for the Lord, only those things that's done for Him, only those things that's done in spirit and truth for Him, that's the only thing that's going to survive through that fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. See, it's serious business. You're talking about God, Jesus Himself, has laid the foundation, and we're to add to that with the works that we do for Him. Things that we want to do in this life. You know, I've had different occupations. I've done different things, enjoyed different things, but there's only one true occupation that is for me, and that's working for the Lord. That's the way it should be for every single one of us. His work first. A way to provide for our family, what have you, but His work comes first. We're building upon the foundation that He has laid. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man should build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means known. For the day shall declare it, the day, the judgment seat of Christ. I think sometimes it's hard for us to maybe consider that. I don't like feeling like I'm in trouble. I don't like that feeling. I never liked hearing my name called out, maybe to go to the principal's office or something like that. Or if I know that I misbehaved throughout the week, I did not enjoy the thoughts of what was to come. But I want us to focus on this for just a minute, what the judgment seat of Christ is actually for, what it's like for the child of God. It's not a sentencing. If you're saved, you're saved. That's settled. But this is the time the works that you and I have done in this life will be judged. Everything. Now, imagine, just envision you before Jesus Christ, and He's looking at everything that you've done. And the reason I bring this out to you now, I'm not talking about a salvation works or anything like that, but if you want to do something for the Lord, now's the time to do it, just like you said, Brother Tim. Now's the time to be about it, not wait to start another time, or I don't want to look back with regrets. I think about that a whole lot. Could have done more. Wish I'd have done more. Well, today's the day. And just envision you're seated there before the Lord, and He is looking at all the works that you've done. And I was just thinking about this and envisioning what that would look like. Will anything pass through that fire? Anything. I think we could greatly increase our chances of something passing through if we're more earnest in what we're doing today. We're more focused on Him. We're more in tune with what He'd have us to do, not just a couple of days a week, but every day of the week. But again, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Everything that we do, all those thoughts, all those actions, prescribing God's word where it belongs and not doing our will where it doesn't belong. Doing what He'd have for us to do. You see, that's those works in the Spirit. That's what the Lord is looking at this morning. Remember when I said He's looking at your heart? That's what He's looking at. There's ways you're weighing out in your mind probably about things that you need to do or you want to do in life, and you're trying to figure out the right way to do it. You don't want to go the wrong way about that. You want to do it His way, the spiritual way. Let Him have His way. See, that's where those rewards come from. spending time with Him in prayer, consulting Him, following Him, and letting Him have His way. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. See, I'm interested in rewards this morning. The Lord give us the opportunity. We have a coach here. We have people here. I'd say there's people that are competitive nature, but do you ever want to lose, coach? You want to win every single time, don't you? I want to win every single time with the Lord. Is that asking too much? But it takes dedication. It takes doing it His way. It takes listening to what His way is. Focusing on Him, trusting in Him. I'd like to have every reward that I could from the Lord this morning. But you think about being on fire for God. I'm telling you, I'll close like this morning. I've seen it go up and down and in and out, but I felt the Lord moving through here these last few weeks. And I don't want to see that go away. I want to see that heightened. I want to see how much the Lord has. I don't want to be in control of the thermostat. Lord, I want You to control the thermostat. I might turn it too cold. It might be too hot for me, but that might be too cold for somebody else. But see, He knows. He knows what He wants for you. He knows what He wants for every single one of us. If you will, stand with me this morning, and every head bowed, every eye closed, I ask the ladies to come.